Last Sunday we talked about Peter and walking on water, and that fear blinded him and caused him to take his eyes off of Jesus. And we said that if you stop looking and listening to Jesus when you're blinded by wind and waves, you're liable to sink. Our attention shifts to what frightens us rather than remaining focused on the one who cast out fear and enables us to walk even through the storm. So I want to share another story with you quickly this morning, this one from the Old Testament, that gives us some insight on the importance of looking to and listening to the Lord when trouble comes. And we'll wrap up this series on look and listen next Sunday, and then we'll begin a Lenten series coming up pretty quick here. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is a great Old Testament story. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. You remember at this time, the nation was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel. 10 tribes were in the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom of Judah with 2 tribes there. Jehoshaphat had inherited the throne after the death of his father Asa. He ruled from around 873 to 848 BC, and so about 300 years before the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the Babylonian exile. Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings. It was kind of rare, but he was one of the good guys who served the Lord, did what was right. You can read about him in the chapters prior to this. He had a history of seeking the Lord. There's a great story in chapter 18 where King Ahab in Israel had said, "Hey, why don't we go together against a common enemy?" And so Jehoshaphat said, "Well, it sounds like a good idea, but first, let's look to the Lord and inquire of the Lord. Is there a prophet we can talk to?" And Ahab said, "Oh, I don't want to talk to those guys because they never say what I want them to say." And so it was Jehoshaphat who kind of said, "Well, let's find a guy who will tell us what God really says." And anyway, that's a whole nother story there, but it's a good one. But eventually there's trouble that comes. And so in chapter 20, we read this, that after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. And some men came and told him, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It's already in En-Gedi." You that have been to Israel with us, En-Gedi is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in that area, and where the waterfall is, where David and cut off the edge of Saul's garment, all that stuff. Anyway, that's En-Gedi. So it's not all that far, you know, a day or two away by walking to get to Jerusalem, perhaps. "A vast army is coming." Well, that doesn't sound good. Whatever a vast army is, that's a bad plan. It's probably the way people in the Ukraine are feeling this morning, as a vast army seems to be amassing at their border. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared, but look what else he did. It says, "And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Young and old, men, women, everybody came to Jerusalem to pray. The king was frightened, but he knew what to do." NIV reads, "He resolved to inquire of the Lord." I think this is the New King James. He feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. He knew that when trouble comes, when enemies are coming at you, look to the Lord and seek him, fast and pray. I've been saying it for 7 weeks now, to look to the Lord, to listen to Jesus. But you may have to set yourself to look to the Lord. And what I mean by that, this isn't just a glance in his direction. This isn't a tip of the hat towards him as you rush out the door each morning. This is setting yourself to seek the Lord until you see him, and to focus your heart on him. Look till you see him. Listen until you hear from him. Resolve to inquire of the Lord and then do it. Decide you're going to look to the Lord and then move that direction. So here are a few additional lessons we can learn from King Jehoshaphat. We set our hearts that we're going to look to him. And then the second thing here, decide where you'll look and to whom you'll listen. So I'll ask you this morning, who or what has your attention? Who has your ear this morning? Who are you listening to? Is it your peers more than you listen to God and his word? Is it celebrities? Is it talk radio? You know, one of the news channels, Facebook experts on everything? Friends that want you to fall down the same hole they fell down, and so they're saying, "Oh, it's great down here," you know. Voices that want to fill your mind with fear and doubt, conspiracy theorists. Who's your source of information? Who do you look to? Who's got your ear and who's got your eye? I appreciate that Jehoshaphat didn't look to neighboring kings. He didn't consult other nations. He wasn't sending out messages to allies. He didn't even call in his team of advisors or his council. Instead, he called the people together and said, "We're going to look to the Lord. He's our source. He's the one we need to be listening to. There's no other voice we need to listen from. He's the one to turn to in a time of trouble." And so, friends, we need to decide who we're going to listen to and where we're going to look. And I'll tell you right now, I'm looking to and listening to Jesus, because I don't see any other source or resource out there worthy of our attention. Do you? I just think we need to look to Jesus. Who else can you trust in this world, in this season? So look to him, listen to him, and obey his word. So the king gathered all the people together, young and old, and began to pray in verse 6. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?" And here's the next lesson we learn. We can rest in the sovereignty of God. Jehoshaphat reminds himself and all the people of the God they serve, that he's bigger than any problem they might face. However big a vast army is, you know, always think about the guy who said something about the Brazilian army, meaning from the country of Brazil, and he said, "I don't even know how many a Brazilian is." Anyway, so this was a Brazilian army. This was a vast army. And however many vast army is, the God we serve is bigger than that. He's the God in heaven, right? Jehoshaphat says, he's the God in heaven, and he's the God over this earth. He rules and reigns, so we don't have to give in to fear when we remember who our Father is. But he adds this, "In your hand there is power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you." That means God can do what pleases him, but what if what pleases him doesn't please me? So when we talk about someone being sovereign in our lives and over our lives, we kind of stop and go, "Well, yeah, well, that can be a little frightening, right?" But here's the rest of this story. We rest in the sovereignty of God because we know the character of God. It changes, right? We can trust him. We know the character of God. Remember from last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that we've seen the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so it changes. We don't have to be afraid of this sovereign God because we've seen the face of Jesus Christ. This is the image of God that we know, this Jesus who loves us and gave himself for us. We know who he is. So we know in whom we trust. We know he's doing what's right and best for us. And when trouble comes and when enemies approach, we rest in his sovereignty and we trust in his character. And so we can pray like King Jehoshaphat, "Lord, I bring my needs to you, and I ask you to show me your will and show me what we need to do and where we need to go. But ultimately, Lord, I trust you, and I rest it all in you. I'm going to just trust that you have my best interest in heart." It's what Jehoshaphat does as he prays. He rests in the sovereignty of God. But there's another lesson we learn, that when trouble comes, we recall his faithful deeds. And in case anyone questions God's track record in terms of his sovereign acts and dealings with Judah, King Jehoshaphat reminds the people of God's faithfulness in his prayer. And so in verse 7, then he says, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? And you gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever, and they dwell in it, and they've built you a sanctuary in it for your name." And so he's recounting this. He's reminding the people of their history, of his story with them. God's redemptive work. God has dealt with our enemies before, the king says. Remember, we came into this land with the Jebusites and the Hittites and all the guys that were there. There were seven of them, wasn't it? Anyway, however many there were, and he ran them out of there and gave this land to us and to our descendants forever. And we built a sanctuary, and the king standing at the entrance to the sanctuary, standing on the temple mount as he's telling them this. This is what God did for us, and this is the land that he gave us. He's declaring what God has done, and he's essentially saying to the people, and because we know that he did this, we believe he's going to do it again. Israel constantly rehearsed God's faithfulness, his redemptive acts in history. That's what Passover is. That's what Hanukkah is. It's a retelling, a yearly retelling of God's deliverance and his provision for his people, so that every year, why is this year, why is this night different than all the rest? This is the night of the Lord's Passover. This is how he led us out of Egypt with a strong right hand, how he plundered the Egyptians, how he parted the sea, and we danced and we sang and played the tambourine and declared the horse and rider have been swallowed in the sea, and they recount that story year after year after year. This is the history of our God and what he's done for us. And when the enemy is advancing toward you and you just feel a little overwhelmed by everything, why not look to the Lord and remind yourself of the faithfulness of God in your own history, in your own story? This is how God led Grandma and Grandpa to this place. This is how we landed here. This is what God has done. And we recount his redemptive story in our lives. This is how he provided for our children. This is how when, you know, somebody was born and the doctor said, this doesn't look right or whatever, and yet God healed and brought us through. Look at what God has done in your life. Jehoshaphat is looking to the Lord. He's declared the trustworthiness of their sovereign God. He's reminded the people of God's faithful deeds in the past. And now he reminds them of God's promise. And it's his next lesson for us when trouble comes, that it's good for us to declare the promises of God. And Jehoshaphat reminds the people of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the very temple that they're standing in front of, the very spot where the king is standing. And Jehoshaphat says, Lord, this is what we remember, that this was your word and the prayer that Solomon prayed, that if disaster comes upon us by the sword, by war or judgment or pestilence or famine, and if we stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, your nature is associated with this place, and if we stand here, or even if we're away from here, but if we look towards this place and we cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear us and you will rescue us, you'll save us. And the king says, Lord, here we are doing exactly what King Solomon said we ought to do, doing exactly what you told us by your spirit to do. We're honoring your word and we're calling on you. And the enemies are coming to kill us and to drive us off of the land that you gave to our fathers, but we trust you because of your promise. So here we are looking to you. Our eyes are upon you. Hear us and save us, rescue us. And now we rest in your promise and in your sovereign plans. And then Jehoshaphat says this, O our God, we have no power. We're powerless to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat just kind of sums it all up for me in this verse, that when trouble comes, after all is said and done, we just keep looking to Jesus. I'm powerless to change this. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. We've done all we know to do, Lord, but we know it's not enough. We had a plan, and then we realized just how big a vast army is, and we realized, yeah, we got nothing. We're powerless, but we're looking to you. Can you relate to Jehoshaphat this morning? Because I can. Which way do we go? I don't know, but I'm looking to Jesus. Which road do we take? I don't know, but I'm looking to Jesus. Which voice do we listen to? Which voice do I obey and follow? I don't know, but I'm looking to Jesus. Which source do I believe? I don't know. Which direction do we go as a church? I don't know, but my eyes are on Jesus. How do we impact the community and win the lost and disciple people? I don't know, Lord. We don't know what to do. We're powerless, but our eyes are on you. And when you don't know what to do, look to Jesus. When you're powerless, look to Jesus. When you're desperate, look and listen to Jesus. When you're out of answers, look to Jesus. I remember years ago, a lady came to my office one Sunday morning during Sunday school, and she began to rehearse for me all this life that she had lived, and kids were in a variety of places, and the state had taken them away, and all this stuff, and she just went on kind of telling me, and the job she was doing was not good. Anyway, I finally just said, well, boy, it just sounds like you need to come to Jesus. And she looked over at me kind of like surprised and said, well, why the do you think I'm here? You know, why the heck do you think I'm here this morning? And I thought, well, you're exactly right. Yeah. that you've done exactly what you're supposed to do. You've come to Jesus. You've come to church. You've come looking for answers because there's nobody else that can fix this for you. I don't know how to get all your kids back and your old man that's somewhere in jail, and I don't know how to fix all these pieces, but Jesus does, and you're doing the right thing. God bless you. I said, let's pray then, and let's just ask Jesus to begin to work in your life to turn things around for you. Why are you here this morning? Why just stop on Facebook to watch a little bit of a preacher somewhere? You're doing the right thing because you're looking to Jesus this morning. You put yourself in a place where you can hear the story of Jesus, where you can know that if we look to him, he makes the difference. After everything said and done, look to Jesus. And Jehoshaphat has set his heart to seek the Lord. He's looking and listening, and the Lord speaks. And the Spirit of the Lord came on a fellow named Jehaziel, a Levite, apparently a member of the choir as well, a descendant of Asaph, who was one of the choir directors and songwriters of Israel. And this is what the Lord says then. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle's not yours, but God's. And tomorrow, march down against them. And you won't have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. What a promise. What a word in the midst of a war, a battle. What provision. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's going to fight for us. And just think, if Jehoshaphat hadn't decided to set himself to seek the Lord, if he hadn't been looking and listening, he wouldn't have heard this word from the Lord. He could have missed it. He could have been preoccupied with advisors trying to figure out their war plan, or too busy just pacing in his office, you know, too busy to look to Jesus, too busy to listen for a word from God. Listen, it's okay to make plans and prepare for things, but keep looking to Jesus and keep listening for a word from the Lord and keep trusting him, and don't miss it when the Lord speaks to your heart. And the Lord tells them they wouldn't even have to fight. Just position yourself where you can see the Lord's salvation and his provision. And once again, notice that, they were to position themselves to see just as they had positioned themselves in seeking the Lord, in looking and listening, right? I mean, that's what Jehoshaphat decided to do. I'm going to position myself and the people so we can see the Lord. We can look to him and listen because I believe he'll have a solution for us, an answer. And now God says, position yourself again and watch and see what I'm going to do. Our position, it's kind of important. Get where you can see and hear and look and listen. Have I said that enough? Look and listen. Keep looking and listening. It's part of why we gather here in worship and in study. It's why church is important. It's why the church as the body of Christ is important, because we're positioning ourselves to receive. We're positioning our children to be able to see and to hear and to receive from the Lord. We're positioning ourselves in worship on Sunday morning to see and to hear. And maybe the Lord's got a word for us or encouragement for us, or he's going to show us something that we need to see and we need to know. It's important that we position ourselves to receive from the Lord. And a response to the word of the Lord, the Bible says Jehoshaphat and all the people bowed down with their faces to the ground and worshiped the Lord. And while they're worshiping, this is in verse 19, the choir and the singers, the Levites, they just suddenly rose up and began to sing to the Lord in praise and worship. And here's another lesson. Worship is always the right response in a time of trouble. It's why in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were singing at midnight after being beaten and their arms and legs locked in stocks. It's why David could sing and worship while he's running for his life. The Lord is my light. He's hiding in a cave. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, maybe all those people that are trying to kill you. But David's rejoicing and worshiping. God is worthy of our praise and worship. Position yourself, God said. And worship is positioning ourselves to see what God's going to do and to see his victory and to receive from him. You see, God's worthy of praise and worship regardless of circumstances. So position yourself in worship. God's good, not because of what he does, but because of who he is, right? That's why we worship him. That's why we praise him. God is so good. It's his nature. Worship him because of who he is. Praise him for all he's done, but worship him for who he is. Worship him in a time of trouble, knowing that as we do, our hearts are lifted and encouraged. Our perspective changes. Our faith is built up as we worship and praise the Lord. Excuse me. Our focus turns away from the enemy, away from that vast army, away from the storm, and our focus is lasered. I mean, we're looking to him, and it's upon his greatness and his mercy and away from all the trouble. Jehoshaphat told the people as they headed out to confront the enemy, have faith in the Lord your God and you'll be upheld. And then after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. And they began to sing this. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. There's something about singing and praising the Lord and worshiping and declaring his goodness that confounds the enemy, especially when trouble's coming at us. If you missed the night of worship this past Wednesday, a night of prayer and worship, boy, I'm sorry you missed it, but it was good. And I believe the Lord set up ambushes and defeated some enemy tactics Wednesday night, don't you, Pastor? As people prayed together and as people were in the altars and praying, and just I saw older folks praying for these teenagers down here. It was just a sweet time in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord and you'll be upheld, the king says. Keep trusting and looking to Jesus. Keep believing. Don't turn away in fear. Instead, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good and his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord because he fights the battle. Give thanks to the Lord, for he provides and he delivers and rescues in a time of trouble. So the Lord brings victory. They plunder the camp of the enemy. It took him a couple of days to haul off everything that God gave them, and he gave them peace. And they start the story in fear, troubled because a vast army's coming against them. But instead of giving in to the fear, they look to the Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know if there's trouble or some kind of enemy threatening you, but I know what to do. Look to the Lord and listen to him. Set yourself to seek the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what the people of Judah did, and the Lord brought deliverance. And I'm just telling you this morning, let's look to him. Let's call upon him. Let's rest in his sovereignty. Let's recall his faithfulness. Let's trust in his promises. Let's worship and give him praise regardless of the circumstances, because his mercy endures forever. And some of you may be saying exactly what the king said. We don't know what to do, but this morning we're turning our eyes toward the Lord. And if you're facing an enemy, you're facing a battle, a decision, and you don't know what to do, let's look to the Lord this morning. Let's turn our eyes upon him. Let's trust him today. Let's position ourselves so we can see and hear from the Lord. That sound like a plan? Let's stand together this morning. I tell you what, if you're here, and I know it's a little late, but we've still got a few minutes here. If you're here this morning and that's kind of the cry of your heart, you're thinking, Lord, I don't know what to do. I mean, stuff's kind of, there's a mess, you know, in some area. But I don't know what to do, Lord, but I'm looking to you this morning. I'd love to just pray with you. And I just invite you, they're going to sing something here in a minute, and we're going to pray. But if that's you, would you just slip out and come? You can kneel here. We've got altar benches here this morning. You can kneel. You can stand here at the front. But I'd like to just have the privilege of praying with you, that as we focus our eyes on him, as we look to him, we just believe the Lord's going to give us answers. It's all right to expect to hear from him, that he's going to show us what the next step is. And so, Lord, we just turn our eyes upon you this morning. We focus on you, Lord. We're asking you for your help because we don't know what to do. We're powerless. We just don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. We're facing impossible odds, a vast army, but, Lord, we're looking to you. We're looking to you. And we're going to call on you together. And we're going to believe you together. There are folks that are coming this morning. Maybe you'd want to come and just stand with them in agreement. You'd pray with them this morning and encourage. We don't know what to do, Lord. We're powerless before you. We're literally powerless before you, but our eyes are on you. We're looking to you today. We're looking to you today. Lord, come and help us, because our eyes are upon you today. Let's pray together. Just maybe extend a hand towards these that have come this morning.
You are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life. You are life. In you, death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever.
The sovereignty of God, that it can be a little scary. And we say, Lord, just direct my steps and show me the next thing. And then the Lord says, I'd like you to go to the Philippines or whatever. That may be better than Cambodia and China where you've been before. But the Lord says, I think this is the next step. This is the direction. And we kind of go, well, I was hoping for something else. But remember what I said, we can trust the sovereignty of God because we know the character of God. We know who he is. Well, I don't know him. Well, you can get to know him when you come to Jesus, when you fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the exact representation. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we understand who he is. We've seen the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And we look to him and we can take the next step of obedience. We can walk according to his will and his word because we know the character of our God. He is good. We've seen the beauty of Christ, and there's something about it that's transformative for us when you see him in his beauty and in his glory. And so trust him. Trust him to take that next step. You've come to a good place. Why do you think I'm here? Because you needed to look to Jesus, and you've positioned yourself to see him and you've positioned yourself to receive something from him, you can expect it and you can trust him because he delights in giving good gifts to his children. And I believe he's got that in store for you. So Lord, thank you for the good gifts that you have for us. Thank you for the beauty of Christ that we can see, Lord, when we look to you and we can understand you and we can trust you. Even the sovereign purposes of God, we can trust that because we know the character of God, that you're always good and you're always faithful. And so, Lord, we put our hope and trust in you. And in times of trouble, I don't know what this week's going to hold, and it may get weirder out there in the next few weeks. But Lord, whatever happens, I trust in the character of our God, and I rest in your sovereignty and in your purposes. You're taking us somewhere so we don't have to fear. We're going to keep looking to you and listening to you, and we believe that good things are going to happen. So may the Lord, as we put our hope in you, Lord, we believe you're going to bless us, and we believe you're going to keep us. And Lord, we ask you to make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. And Lord, lift up your countenance upon us, your people, and give us peace. And we receive it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, bless you this morning. Thanks for being here. Sunday school starts in 15 minutes. If you don't have a class, there's one that meets right in this room. You can just sit back down and enjoy some great Bible teaching. God bless you. Thanks for watching us online. Thanks for being here. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday.